For the Herald Sun's Nissan Supercoach.
Welcome to the Friday Rob. Triple M rocks football.
Oh, yes, please. Richard Marsden Studios here in South Melbourne. The big team assembled before we send you to Sydney for the Swannies and the Magpies from McDonald's, of course. A mid-sized share in football, just $4.95 with any medium or large meal at Macca's, our great friends. And I look around this room, look at their boys are ready. They love it. The Friday night rub in here, it gets no better. Jason Dunstall, I think, excited. Hello to you, Chief.
Hi, Jim.
Former Hawthorn legend, four-time premiership player.
Couldn't be more excited,
Jim.
I can
see that in you, Chief. I can see that in you. And the Duke, of course, here this morning, dominating with a hot breakfast and then back tonight. Nice to see you, Duke.
Really good to be back here, Jim, and looking forward to a big show tonight.
Oh, and in early too, Duke. It's one of the great overcorrections.
In fact,
he was late 6 weeks ago.
My mail is he hasn't gone home. He just stays here.
That's unbelievable.
He sits out there because such was the pasting he got last time.
What the other tools here wouldn't understand is professionalism. I've been here. I've been writing notes. I've been checking audio. I've made sure hyphen the golf bags ready to go.
There's more than two, but there's that and that jacket you wore about 2 weeks ago, which has never, ever see the light of day again.
I'm happy to concede that might have been. In fact, a rare error of judgment.
Give that back to Beck.
I asked 11 last night after our show. We're having a beer, and one of the ladies who works on our show walked in, and Jim leans over and goes, "Same jacket as Duke."
It was an absolute
spitting image of it.
Rare error in judgment.
Purple, nice to see you.
Hello, Jim. I just hope the Chief brings to the table what he brought to the table in the meeting pre-show.
He was up,
if he gives us 40% of what he gave in the meeting, we'll have a fun couple of hours.
We might have to go over an ad break with Shipoff. I think you got that many, Chief.
No, we've actually just tailored it a little to sort of narrow it down.
And it's a good thing I'm not in it. We did the collage, montage last week, and then I'm out, which is nice.
Don't jump the gun.
Welcome to you, Gaz.
Yep.
Again, refreshed.
Good to be here, Jimmy. Lots to talk about tonight, too. Damo's been in rare news-breaking form. Trade talk starts to really crank up, and the rest follow in after him, after he alerts them to everything that's going on.
Of course he does, yep.
And I've got a tennis... I'm not going to jump into Chiefs territory.
No.
Because he and I, we work like this.
Mm.
But I'm going to back over one of his ship-offs.
Yep.
Because I don't feel great about where we're at in this world of tennis at the moment. No. And and I'm not blaming the kid so much. I'll just give you a heads up.
This is one of the great on-field sledges. I'm looking forward to hearing your take on this, because there's a man who didn't miss many out there.
No.
Especially you,
the Wolf. Poor old Matty Croft, an old teammate of mine, is still recovering from
what did he say to Crofty?
He might have said to Crofty. What did you say before the game started? It was ordinary. One of the nicer people
I've
ever met. It was arrogant.
It would have been chock full of arrogance.
10 goals later and got the...
That's what we're dealing with. That's the sort of stuff. Poor old Crofty, never been the same.
I'm not sure Chief missed too many either. So we've got a couple of good ones.
I never sledged on field.
Oh, didn't you?
Never ever sledged on field.
I'll back that up.
Did you mention a couple of the blokes you're playing with that you didn't know they were?
Never ever. Never ever.
Chief.
But normally the blokes you didn't know, Jim, they weren't there long anyway.
Well, it is an interesting thing. Now, we're going to talk about tonight, obviously. Collingwood, great record in Sydney. Can they win? They're going to shape the finals one way or the other, the Magpies. So there's lots for us to get through. But this AFL going around to the four clubs that got to play Essendon between now and the end of the year and telling them how to behave.
Come on, Jim.
Gary.
Please.
We'll accept a lot of what they do in at City Hall, but this ain't where we're going.
Well, we have great... respect for the religious and the sexual orientation,
the racial,
but when it comes to these other issues, then leave it to us to work out what's right and what's not.
Well, as I said before,
not us.
No, as in the playing group. And as I said before, Duke, last night, in fact, on the footy show, I agree you shouldn't speak for people, but Michael Hurley looks to me like a beauty. Just looks like a footballer and a ripper bloke.
Couldn't agree more.
If you're Michael Hurley, surely you're ringing whoever's in charge of this at the AFL and saying, "I'll look after myself, thanks. I'm happy for anyone to say whatever they want to say, and I'll deal with that. You don't have to act on my behalf."
So has there been a memorandum sent to players and people in the game saying, "We do not want"? Is that what I'm hearing you saying?
Chip LeGrand wrote it in The Australian yesterday, and according to that article, and I've got no reason to disbelieve one thing in it, that was it Essendon had raised it informally with the AFL, and the AFL then...
They don't want their players spoken to about the ongoing supplement saga on field.
The bit that was raised informally was the incident after the Adam Cooney situation in last weekend's game, and there was supposedly some words exchanged around the drug use, potentially. So Essendon informally went to the AFL, said this is not on, and then the AFL took it upon its own back
how
to
sanitized
to
is how
go
sport
to the next four games.
Where we well, are now in this space.
Do you know what the AFL have done, effectively? They've given even greater licence now for teams to play against Essendon's legends. Because now you're going up saying, oh, you need the AFL to hold your hands,
exactly.
You're packing pansies. And on and on and on. It self-perpetuates to the point where if you're Essendon, but you're saying, let us fight our own fight.
Exactly.
For God's sake. Well, we'll handle this. I mean, it's out of control. It is absolutely out of control. And there was a lot about back in our day that I don't particularly are particularly proud of, but in the fact of being able to stand next to the bloke and fight your own fight and thrust your chest out and take it and cop it and give it, and if it crossed the line, fair enough, well then you go and deal with it in the proper channels. But honestly,
Gary,
God,
let me assure you of the fact that over a decade there was no more sledged cricketer in Australian first class cricket than myself.
Rightfully so.
We can all understand that.
My magnificent mother Joni, who's been with me for the week, some of the work she was meant to have done, Jesus Christ, I can't still look at a chief and I can't believe what she was alleged to have got up to.
Murph Hughes does say he did reserve his best stuff for you
too. No, 100%. But I don't ever understand. Now, I know the boundaries and we're respectful of them and there's no problem with that. But beyond that, surely to God, Purple, you can cop whatever you cop. And if you're a man in playing a man's game, you stand up for yourself and get on with it.
I often found the people that you had the best run-ins on field and talking the most vitriol and the most sort of verbal with post-football or when you did catch up with them with an interstate, you found that they're the blokes you actually had more in common with than anyone else. Yep. So I used to have great run-ins with Matthew Primus in his prime and played a lot against him and would wait for weeks to play against him. We'd give it to each other. Nothing was off limits at all. Mm. And then end up going when the Wolf was coach. And I sat down at a beer the first night, thought this is a he would be one of my better
one
mates.
One of the greatest ever blokes.
And one of the best blokes of all time. I used to hate him with a passion. And you find out that they're the guys you respect and like. And everything that was said left on the field and away you go.
But when you get sledged, the person is dying for you to bite. They want you to bite. Mm. They want you to come in. If you just ignore them, geez, they lose wind. The wind goes
pretty
out
quick
of their sails real quick. They go, oh, I'm not getting anything out of this bloke. I'll move on. I'll find another target.
That is true and not true, Chief. In your instance, you never bought. You never used to bite, which was a great credit to you because you were too busy kicking goals.
I got sledged a lot.
Oh, of course you did. But then,
after
your ninth and third quarter, they probably looked at each other and go,
off a bit.
This ain't working, boys.
Let's about just having a fat ass, Chief? Or
anything.
Yeah, going back.
White shorts weren't great for me, Jim.
How about the week you wore the helmet, Chief? How did you go that day?
Well, I kind of thought, given I'd come back from a near-death experience, probably the most courageous ever to grace the field in the AFL, VFL's history, that I might have been cut a little bit of slack from the opposition. All they tried to do was use it as like the crosshairs and try to take my head clean off its shoulders. I kind of thought if they could just have the helmet spinning on the ground and a bloody pulp next to it, that'd be win-win.
There's a large helmet too.
The ratio of sledging for the chief with the helmet was one to a thousand. Yeah. One when he was playing, a thousand when he's retired. Because it's still going.
No, it is.
Still
and I like it.
Yeah,
no,
I've got
no problem with it.
No, I love it.
In fact, you shouldn't have played that week, Chief. If you had your time again, you shouldn't have played.
I had to play with it for 8 weeks, Jim. I wasn't allowed to play. The surgeon wouldn't give me clearance to play unless I wore it.
I reckon it's tainted your legacy. Honestly. You're one of the greatest of all time. But I reckon those 8 weeks did you no favours.
I disagree, Jim. When your legacy's that big, you know, kind of take a hell of a lot to taint it.
It's not a great look, though, Chief, is it?
It wasn't my finest moment. What could I do? I had no choice.
Well, there should have been a different styling.
No, it wasn't, mate. That was handmade by the surgeon.
Oh, that's worse. That's even worse. It's a one-off.
Correct. There was no aesthetic quality about it at all.
Oh, you're telling us.
Young at times in your career, who got hold of you verbally first couple of years?
No one.
No, they wouldn't.
No one.
Someone.
Even when you're 18,
yes.
Exactly. As an 18-year-old.
Let me give that to you. We used to, Richmond were our targets because... They weren't great in the era that we were playing some good footy. So old Craig Lambert and Cambo and all those boys, they used to be good targets of ours. And
would you give it to them?
Not proud about some of the things we said there, Chief. But so it's just not there. We're not purging ourselves. But
who gave it to you is more I'm interested in your young days.
No, I got belted a lot. I did. Dave, me and David Rees-Jones used to punch on. I was only probably picked the wrong fight there, but yeah, thought I'd best fly the flag and came off second best on more than one occasion. And, of course, the greatest of all, or one of the greatest of all time, King to me, Gazza Ablett. So I was up at the tribunal a lot. Rick Kennedy smashed me. Yep. Dermot belted me in the back of the head after I out-nudged him and outmarked him and was pretty much dominating. So he didn't like that, Dermot, so he just punched me in the back of the head. Got 4 weeks for it.
I had an encounter, I was telling this story this morning actually, on radio, where I was lining up for goal, playing against Hawthorn. I won't name names because, and the a person did the regular thing about a family member and suggested they might have had their way with. And it just went straight through and out the other end. And it didn't even take notice. Slotted it through from 45.
That's it.
And then I got a call on the Monday from that player who then said, hey, look, I really regret what I said. And I had to double check and go, what did you say? So little effect did it have. And I didn't. No. And then he had sat on it and thought, oh, you know, I don't want you to have the wrong, which was an unbelievable experience in that era for someone to do that.
So absolutely.
It made me worry more, though. The fact that he was ringing on the Monday, I thought maybe there is something to it.
Well, Merv Hughes never rang me. I can pretty safely say that to you, Purple. And having your way, apparently I'd had my way too. So I love it, Duke.
So how do you expect the AFL community to respond to this thing? A team's going to take it easy on this. I mean,
I don't think it'll change one thing.
Who plays Essendon this week? Brisbane, do they? No, Adelaide, do they?
Adelaide, I think it is, yeah.
Oh, I don't think Scott Caporelli would mention it. Is it Port, is it?
No, it's Adelaide. Adelaide, Eddie Head.
Don't worry.
Port by GWH.
Scott Caporelli wouldn't mention it once, Jim.
But, Gaz, I reckon the good sledges and those that are still out of the old school will go your path, mate. I'd love to talk about your issues with the supplements. I'm not allowed to, given you're such pathetic, insipid, weak babies. I won't mention it because that's not what we're allowed to do.
Mark Evans come down the rooms beforehand and have a talk to you poor boys. You're right to go. You think you can run out here and get through the game? All that sort of
stuff.
You can't have you crying out on the ground. It's a bad look for the game.
That's where it'll head.
Empty out on them, you would. In fact, you'd go twice as hard. In fact, I'd go twice as hard.
Well, maybe don't encourage that, Gary.
Twice as hard, warrior. Just give them a double serve.
Let them get through the year.
And then I'd turn to the media box and have a crack at you.
Interested on looker, Duke. Nathan Grimer, a very, very fine player for the North Melbourne Footy Club, announced his retirement recently due to back problems.
One of the better blokes.
No, he's a fantastic bloke,
go and get the food, don't
he? He came into the meeting. I reckon he was in the meeting, Duke, for all of about 2.5 minutes before it was suggested by our two senior men that he get the food.
Snorkel, Big Nose, said there's no one to pick the food up. And I looked at Nani, I said, what's he, a bowl of goldfish?
But he's come along as an observer after...
Work experience, kid Jim.
Have you ever met a happier bloke than Nani? He's always happy and amiable.
Not happy to get the food, clearly.
He was happy. It was just, I thought it was harsh.
He got 2.5 minutes pretty early.
He got shipped straight off.
Chief backed up Gary's suggestion too.
I did not.
Hey, you're never too big.
I said I would go and get it.
I'll go and get it. Yeah, that's and I'll come back.
I'll see you blokes in about half an hour.
That's because you didn't want to be on air, Chief.
And I'll keep going. Hey, the pack have misread us.
What are they doing?
In fact, these must be new pack nipsies because they couldn't misread the conversation. I'm pretty sure we said if it's religious.
Yeah, there are clear boundaries that are never crossed.
We don't go to. So, Reese, interesting you have this opinion on sledging when most of the blokes on had a very different opinion about booing goods. Nathan, this is Nate Thompson. I don't reckon it'd be that, would it? Did Wolf also tell Goodsy just suck it up last week and stop being a pansy, or has he changed his tune? Boys.
It's got nothing to do with the race.
You made that very clear.
I think these are AM nipsies. Drifted
across.
Wanted over to the pack.
Well, their hands started sort of shaking over the type pad because they've never been this entertained. So they got a few words wrong. Preemptive texting's bugging them, Gary. Hey, Duke, what's something?
Just a little observation from this week, Jim. You know, when you sit, as you did for a long period of time, breakfast radio, and you're a lot of story. The one that fascinated me the most this week, I'm just looking at the picture of the chief and his helmet. Hard to push on
through
that.
It's not me, Chief, it's the pack.
Why are you laughing so hard?
I'm not laughing. I'm with you. You know that.
Get onto Twitter and have a look at that. That's guaranteed to amuse you. The thing that I found, and it relates to all of us, and I think it might be the end of all of us, is the fact that the biggest television show of the week this week, the number one, 1.6 million. I know you guys do big numbers on a Thursday, and Chief's doing some big things on Fox. The biggest show this week was a YouTube based show on cats. And that is all that was required. Coming up this week on Tuesday will be an episode of Dogs. I think it cost them $11,000 to put on Channel 7. They won the week on the back of a YouTube clip on cats. Now,
good show.
We launched a bit of a social experiment. You liked it, did you, Wolf?
Yeah, I did.
Now, I got a new dog this week. Picked him up yesterday, a little blue staffy by the name of Dennis.
Did you?
Dennis.
Dennis.
And that's Dennis there. Just Snorkels brought him in. That's
where's that other thing that you
Dennis passed away?
Went on, ran and raided your house.
Poor old Leroy's no longer with us.
Oh, he died, didn't
Leroy, sorry, he got shipped off.
Sorry about that.
Dennis is with us. Now, Dennis has his own Instagram account launched this morning at
morning gym.
He has gone past Jim in 5 hours this morning. I know Jim
globally is trending.
I'm 30,000.
Jim, Dennis the Staffy, this is an indication of where people are at. More interest in Dennis the Staffy than anything we've done on the Hot Breakfast for the entire week. Absolute Instagram numbers off the chart. Can we get the pack to get around Dennis the Staffy?
What is it? What am I saying?
How do we do it, Hyphen?
It's on Instagram. At?
Careful speaking, Hyphen.
Don't muck this up.
Remember what happened last time you got excited and got
just make it short and sharp, golf bag, and then turn yourself off.
At @Dennis_Darcy, Dennis with two N's. @Dennis_Darcy.
How many in a matter of hours are we up to, please, golf bag?
We're up to a few thousand.
All right, I'll get the pack right now and go and do what you have to do to make the Dennis, the blue staffy go up.
Are you going to be servicing this account, Darcy, yourself, or is it going to be a family connection with it?
It will be Rosie from the Hot Breakfast. He's looking after that account. Open to sponsors. So we've had our offers from Pedigree already. We've had offers from Petstock. Dennis the Blue Staffy.
Well, to back your point up, Duke, we had Dyson Heppel's. We had Dyson Heppel's dog in on the footy show earlier this year. What's a beautiful dog? Well, it's radio. You got to explain what you're doing, you two halfwits.
Well, the pack have been listening, and they sent a photo of Chief in with his horrible helmet.
The helmet.
And then I've got a photo here from Troy Parkinson of Reese gouging me.
Right.
A stand-up eye gouge.
Full standing eye gouge.
Yeah, with no trying
not,
to hide it.
You're not fighting back there.
You are
guess.
Not
you're
fighting back.
Mm.
Yeah, you're just getting slapped. Oh, okay.
15
what was Dyson Heppel's dog's name?
Beautiful. It was a golden retriever.
Magnificent. Brought it in on the show, and as much reaction to that as anything that we'd done to that point in the year.
And Crosby the Handsome Tipping Dog, my beautiful Bernese Mountain Dog.
That's actually a horse. It's a Clydesdale.
It's a bear.
It's the biggest animal I've ever seen.
The most dog in the world. So I agree. Anyway, animals are far more interesting than people, and that's why they are generating the sorts of numbers
particularly,
that they do.
Particularly your cat, Gary. Can we go into that? Can we go into this? Can we talk about this?
Family had a cat.
Can we talk about the cat?
Well, Worry is fascinating because it won't drink out of a bowl.
It drinks out of a tap. Jim.
Drinks out of the tap. Just turn it on.
The Lion Family cat.
Yeah, the rag doll.
Will not drink anywhere else apart from Gary's tap.
Until you turn the tap on.
You've got to turn the tap on. And then it goes and walks off. It's true.
And Darcy freaked out when it moved house. It couldn't
new
drink.
Tap.
Didn't drink for 3 weeks.
That's right. That's exactly right, Warren. I don't know what's funny about that.
I've never known of a cat.
The tap drinking
only
cat.
Only drinking out of a tap.
How's our footy show going, you reckon? 25 past six.
No, well, it's going beautifully, hence the pack are all over it. Tonight, by the way, Collingwood and Sydney, is there any chance Collingwood can win this game?
Well, 11 of 13, they've won in Sydney, isn't it?
Yep.
11 of the last 13 games, they've travelled up to Sydney and won.
Different venue, though.
Haven't been at the SCG for a long time, albeit. They come, they welcome back their biggest key forward. And I was driving in listening to the boys, your Triple M boys, and there was a news grab from Rob Harvey who said, Travis Cloke coming back, no big deal. Buddy being out, no big deal. Be won and lost in the midfield. Slightly bemused when I heard that from Banger, and who's the coach of the midfield, and they are critically important. But I mean, Cloke in and Franklin out.
Yep,
has a massive bearing on what's going to happen.
No changes. Greenwood and Lloyd are the subs for the two sides. We're just hearing.
So. It's just too much at stake for me from a Sydney point of view. Their whole season almost goes down the tube if they lose tonight,
because
the top four spot then goes begging. Great for the Dogs, who you suspect will beat Melbourne on Sunday, which should shore them up. I just think there's too much at stake. But, Chief, they're not going very well.
They are not. I expected them to back up their performance 2 weeks ago in Adelaide last week, and they were deplorable.
Yeah.
Absolutely deplorable. Mind you, if you told me pre-game that Franklin and McGlynn were out, that would have dented my confidence. But too many flashes in the pans from them this year. Not enough consistent good
much
football.
Fight. No, not the fight that we've come to see. And I love Dan Hannaby. He's in my probably top five favourites, I reckon. We all sort of gravitate to players. And he bristled during the week. They put him up in front of the press. He bristled up and said, I can't believe people are writing us off. Well, Dan.
What about the evidence?
Have a look at the facts, mate. Mm. This is what's happening at the moment. You're not the side that you once were. And I imagine he'll lead the charge tonight because he was pretty quiet last week. And it's just where the Jack and McVay and these boys can get on board because they have not. They're the ones who drive culture and drive hardness and standards. And I'm not saying they wouldn't. They would have stopped doing that, but they're not backing it up with on-field performance at all.
Next, Purple floated something in the meeting. Oh, I actually can't believe he even floated it.
What did he float?
Well, around the managing of some games this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a great topic.
I wanted it to be discussed. Well,
there's two sides to this. Yeah. I don't care which one. I'll take either.
I want to take the top of the ladder discussion. You take the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, and then within those discussions, there's the pragmatic view. Hmm. The black and white pragmatic thing that should be done, and then there's the other side.
All right, so where you're coming from, the bottom of the ladder.
Carlton play Brisbane.
I understand 100%.
Up in Brisbane.
What Purple's mentioning.
Yeah, he's going a bit lateral.
Is lateral.
And I wouldn't be throwing it up to Ross Lyon, by the way.
No.
I think Ross has already thought about it.
Oh no. He did not go there.
Never listen to this.
Stand by.
Their Warriors nuts dropping right now.
I would love to just jettison Warrior into Ross's press conference and get him to just direct that to him.
I'll tell you, Jim, you know, we're big on social media, and I'm not that au fait with it. Pack's huge, but already we heard Duke talking about Dennis. Dennis the Blue Staffy.
Yeah. Yep.
Apparently has a massive following, bigger than Jim's already.
Well, at the same time. Now, at the same time.
There's no way it is.
It's only been going for 5 hours.
But he's exploded at a much faster rate than Jim's.
And that hasn't.
Two or three times the rate.
One here from at Matt Glass Darkly, the Mad Hatter. He goes, Dennis has a wider head than Duke.
No!
And doesn't need gloves either, I see. So what he's done,
the Mad Hatter, is
he's jumped on and he's happy with Dennis, but he's given you a drive-by.
Give me a little clip, has he? Who's this bloke?
The Mad Hatter, is he one of the Wolfpack members?
He'd have to be.
How do we ship him off out of there?
You don't. That's just unfortunate. That's a drive-by you have to live with, mate.
He just elevated into the leadership group. That sort of stuff.
Now, Purple.
It's a wider.
Is casting aspersion the right way to frame this? What did you do?
What I want you to hear this out.
All right.
In the context in which I say it. So don't take words out of my mouth.
I'm worried.
Fremantle is 10 premiership points clear of West Coast on top of the ladder. And West Coast is 2 premiership points clear of Hawthorn. Fremantle plays West Coast, as we know, this weekend, 1v2. The business decision that is in front of Ross Lyon as coach of the Dockers, and I'm saying it's a business decision. Footy's a business. The business decision. I'm not saying he's going to do it, but the business decision in front of him, Jim, is to gift West Coast 4 premiership points, which will keep them ahead of Hawthorn. Now, the reason that's the business decision is because that would increase the likelihood that Fremantle finishes 1, West Coast finishes 2, means Hawthorn are outside the top 2 positions, which means, as you know, the way the finals work, they have to travel to Perth by way of guarantee in the first week and potentially by extension go back there again.
Walker, as soon as you start worrying
about...
As you start worrying about one team and one team only, you take your eye off the prize, mate.
Has he done it before, Chief?
Did he do it?
Did he do it in round 22, 2013?
Gone. But did he do that to try and manipulate ladder positions, or did he do that to rest players?
He made a business decision.
Stop them from going on a long trip, which didn't impact where they were on the ladder.
He made a business decision to rest his players. That was the business decision he made on that particular occasion. He tailored his business outlook to resting players on that occasion. The business decision in front of him right now, I'm not saying he's going to do it, but that is the business decision in front of him right now.
If he's not going to do it, why are you saying it?
Because I'm sure he's thought about it.
Gary,
wow.
This is explosive.
You
don't flirt with four.
Warriors are 100% right. You know it, and everyone knows it. But it's never going to get done because at the top end of the ladder, you got finals coming up, and Hawthorne, you don't want to worry about anyone else. Chief's exactly right. But that's...
And you don't flirt with your four. In a derby in Western Australia, high-pressure chances, a finals-like game.
But they have flirted with their four.
They've done it before, Gus. They went into a final series off a 10-goal loss to a bad
team.
Is
different when you're sitting at home, you know, you only have to travel 4 minutes down the road to play as opposed to flying to Tassie. That's the rationale behind it all.
How would the AFL have reacted if they just tuned in and heard Walker suggest that, do you think?
They'd think to themselves, this is the system we run, and we've clubs have flirted with that. Melbourne, Carlton.
Be very careful. Very careful.
Collingwood probably in the past have all flirted with the, not, if not tanking, then manipulating positions to try and get their draft picks in order. So all that stuff's happening.
I'm not sure it stacks up from a games coming up point of view anyway, Purple. Does
well,
it?
That's the issue with it, Jim. You're quite right. I mean, you can't determine what happens in the three matches that follow this week.
I mean,
but
you've got to think that Hawthorn are going to win their last three.
You would think they would.
So, and whereas West Coast have got this one, and then they've got the Dogs. And then their last game is, I don't think, I can't remember who it was. Who have they got in the round beyond that? They've got quite a tough run home, West Coast. Oh, Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to beat the Dogs in Adelaide, but, you know, So even if they do manufacture the result, Freo, there's no guarantee they'll get what they're after.
No,
anyway.
but Fremantle's, look, again, the business, I keep prefacing by saying the business, Fremantle has got control as we speak, or not control, but it has a say in how four premiership points are divided between West Coast and Fremantle this weekend.
Guys, you know Ross Lyon really well. If we flew Rory over now, we got him a jet, we got him there, we got him post-game.
Yeah, he wouldn't come back.
And he pitched that one to Ross.
Now, I've had conversations with Ross before where they're very ugly dust. I would do it again if I had to. But
I know you would, and that's what we love about you, but I would love to see it.
Oh, no.
He rang me one night.
I'd pay money.
He rang me one night about midnight, and I'm still shaking from about 6 years ago. So.
I would pay money to see that.
Oh, wouldn't you love to get
it? What about at the other end of the table, Gaz?
Well, this is
before we do this, just Hawthorn play Carlton, Brisbane, Port Adelaide, and Geelong. You'd have to think they're favourites to win all of those games.
Correct. So Geelong's I don't a big think one. Saturday night against
well,
Geelong,
it is,
night,
but
big
Mitch
game.
Duncan out, they're going to start hot favourites. So I'm not sure, even if he manufactured that result, it wouldn't matter.
That's true.
I think the Hawks will win all of them, and they're going to be likely to finish second anyway.
It's a good debating point. And the same debate is to be had at the other end of the table. And
this is a different debate this
week. Yeah. And look, let me just say up front, because the tanking thing has been done before by more than one club, including mine, and it hasn't worked, and the scars have been terrible. Mind you, they did it more overtly than I think Carlton and certainly Collingwood did.
Yep.
But it has been done, and they did it for the exact right reasons, is to get access to the best players in the draft. Now, we've got a situation this week where Brisbane play Carlton, yeah?
Yep.
Brisbane, Carlton are 4 points ahead of Brisbane and about 1.9%, I reckon. Now, there's two standout players in the draft, a boy called Shackey and a boy called Wiedering, who are both 6'4" plus, who look like ready-made, sort of your Franklin Rough-Edge combination.
Build a team around your key position players.
All that, Chief. One's a forward, one's a back, beautiful size, great skills, look like they're ready to go. There's a chance, or there's speaking worry, you might be able to tell me, if Brisbane finish last and lose Matthew Leuenberger, then they may go for a compensatory pick, which means they get pick number one, which would, I think they're going to take Shackey, who's a forward. Then they'll go to the AFL and say, listen, we need compensation. Leuenberger's a first-round draft pick. A la Jane Frawley leaving Melbourne, they got pick number three. We want pick number two as well.
Oh, no.
That's where it's at, Chief.
I'd be surprised if they got that. But if you're Greg Swan as chief executive of that club, you're going for that from the AFL.
All of a sudden, Carlton are sitting there going, for a long time I thought, well, you know, if we finish in the bottom two, we are going to get one or two key position jets. Now they're sitting there going, well, if Brisbane finish on the bottom, we might miss out.
So what are you suggesting?
Well, the pragmatic black and white view is
the business decision, guy.
The business decision. Carlton lose this weekend.
It's a business decision.
To try and get themselves into that argument down the bottom of the ladder. That's the bottom line.
You think and Soss, the list manager, might just be having...
I don't want to speak for Soss. No. But what I would say is it's really dangerous territory for the reasons we've spoken about, but you cannot mount an argument to suggest that Carlton will be better off by not finishing on the bottom.
And this is where the compensation pick thing, Purple, has always worried me.
Yeah.
And Melbourne getting 2 and 3 last year, I didn't like.
On the back of Frawley going to Hawthorn,
but also on the back of the amount of money he's paid. I've always structured it the other way. I've always said there's no way you should get a compensation pick higher than the pick that guy was taken to your club at when he was brought there originally.
Yeah, fair
so
cool.
Therefore, if you took it, if you know, let's say Smith, his name is, and he's leaving and he was a pick four, then if you've got pick five, you're entitled to get 5 and 6 because you're losing pick four.
But if
it's 1 and 2, unless a guy was taken one, then you've got to take him at the back end of round one.
What if Nate Fife goes as a free agent at some stage when he was really low in the draft?
Then you got
to
get a compensation.
You have to get
a compensation pick at the end of round one.
And the best thing to do overall is to get rid of compensation picks altogether.
Well, they'll never meant to come in, but that's Adrian Anderson's legacy with free agency because it just doesn't work the way
being
it's meant
half
to.
Pregnant. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Is the only unintended consequence of your idea, and I agree with it in principle, if you've got a pick five, it didn't work out, and you go, I'll ship him off somewhere else, knowing that I'll get a pick five back, do you sort of hedge your bets
a bit there? But he's got to be a free agent for it to happen. So he's got to have played 8 years at the club. So, you know, for me, that
mitigates it.
That mitigates it because if you've had 8 years, then you've had good service out of him. I just think the whole what amounts he been paid is just a rubbish.
And it's confusing because people will say it's a flawed system because Melbourne got pick three for Frawley and Hawthorn got pick 19 for Franklin.
Yep.
That's not right. To look at it that way is wrong. It's got nothing to do with picks. You get your pick after your first round pick, depending on where you finish. I mean, so don't compare the three for Frawley to the 19 for Franklin and say, oh, Franklin's worth four times Frawley. Well, we know that. But the pick is after your first pick, so it's depending on where you finish in the ladder.
But the AFL can manipulate where those picks go too. That's the other thing.
Well,
they're staunch about the supposed formula until they get challenged on it.
Yeah, well, that's true. End of first round and all that sort of stuff you can manipulate.
You just James me.
Did I?
I think you did.
Hey, this is the first time.
Not for the normal reason as ever to be angry with you.
That's it.
This is the first time I've ever had the iPad because the Wolf has it hijacked the whole time. And the only reason I got it is because Snorkel gave it to Chiefy to just give me a drive-by. But now I'm actually...
You're reading some of the proper content.
I am.
And there's only one man that's allowed to read these out, though.
Lachlan Harrison interests me. Yeah, Triple M Footy, the new global and trending. Unfollowing Jim the Flog. Hashtag Dennis is getting a run here, Jim.
Don't try and unfollow me. I'm telling you.
They're normally filtered a bit.
They are.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, that's for reason, because I understand who's a pack member and who's not. Hey,
what about Ash Harvey? This tool. The Duke's new dog is attracting new followers because it has more charisma than its owner. How does that cock get
on here? That's where we're at. He's just been branded. Tom McDonald, by the way, rolled his ankle at a captain's run. Tom McDonald at Melbourne.
What, not playing?
Well, we don't know if he's not playing or not, but certainly rolled his ankle.
Run?
Captain's run. Well,
what's
isn't that like, that's what they
run?
Call him Friday.
Well, like
a jog around. Friday, just a jog around.
Yeah.
I think at Melbourne, they call him a captain's run.
Never heard of it.
Anyway,
never
he rolled his ankle and hopefully
he'll
gets up.
He's tough. Tell you what, your calling team tonight up there in Sydney is going to get the job done in a big, big way. Big Bristle Man
and Brian
is up there. Sully Mock is up there. Wayne Schwash.
Magnificent.
Jude Bolton, is he? He's going to be doing the specials.
Beautiful.
So that's an answer to Damien Lethborg, who said he's the two big heavy hitters going up there. Yeah,
Of course they are. They're there and ready to go. The Big Bristle, the moustache will
big
be...
Big Max Gordon, look at him.
Oh, Maxie, there he is.
On the Channel 9 News there. Yep. Just signed
re-signed.
Deal.
Another three. He's extended to 2018.
Never in doubt, Big Max. Look at him.
That's beautiful. And I like seeing that too. I asked Bill Brownless the same question. New blokes have... I think he leads the competition nearly in contested marks, Maxie Gorn.
Jesse Hogan does.
Well, I think Maxie's...
The Ruckman.
His last ever many weeks of taking him being extraordinary. Duke, answer me this question. How is it, if you are that big, that you can't take a contested mark? Surely that should be the cornerstone of your game.
You would think it would be a prerequisite.
I reckon.
That is part
when
of the game.
When you're nearly twice the size of everyone else on the ground, that should be something you could do.
And for a long while here on Triple M Footy, I've been sort of caught between these two idiots potting ruckman as though I'm the great defender of it, when I'm actually not.
Correct.
The ones that have been on a list for a decade haven't taken a contested mark.
That's it.
That's right.
Should maybe not have been there in the start. So
just let me ask a question so I can better understand ruckman, Duke.
Oh, here we go.
When the grey matter upstairs sends a message down to the body, like to perform some sort of skill, A, why does it take so long to get there? And B, how does the message get changed before it gets there?
Oh, I need more evidence than that, Chief. There's some great examples of athletic ruckmen at the moment who are doing great stuff. Nick Natanui's had an outstanding year. Matty Cruz has returned to form. Now, they're the sort of guys that you can build it. Todd Goldstein's year is one of the great years.
Well, Duke, let me
a couple of the other folks.
In. And you'll be surprised because I'm going to support you.
Oh, here we go.
No, I am. That game at Melbourne and North Melbourne was as enjoyable a ruck contest between those two boys, Goldstein and Max Gorn, as I've seen for, a long, long time, because they both got out and got it done. And Goldie looked at him and said, right, I've got a bigger tank, so I'm going to test you. And he started pushing forward. And then even at the end, Max said, well, I've been beaten and, pretty well beaten, but I'm going to go forward and sneak a goal on you. And Goldie thought, and it went back into the bounce. And I'm thinking, and I reckon Goldie will like that. And the next possession he got was sprinting out to the wing as a link player, and Big Max is trailing in. So That is the that goes to the heart of my criticism of the, those lumbering idiots that used to just go and rest in the back half and not do anything.
And I used to have this fight with recruiters for a long period of time. 205-centimetre unathletic ruckman who couldn't tackle, who couldn't play essentially, were clogging lists. And there was plenty of them for a long period of time. And I don't want to name too many of them because if, I play with a few of them. And it's
so you're agreeing really with me, Chief. Well,
I have done for a long while.
So but the ones Gaz is talking about, though, are the exceptions to the rule. It's the other blokes we're worried about. It's but the other 95% of the big blokes, Chief.
I actually agree with you, Chief, and I agree with you. There's some talk about Stephen Martin maybe coming back. I would love him to – I heard – I got no inside information as well that he's going to end up at the Bulldogs, don't my story. I would love him to do that because he's 25 possession, tackling aggressive midfielder as well as being able to compete in the centre. That's the player I would have always
– So, Duke, well, this is what I don't get. This is my question about it because I am a fan, but – If you take a 15-year-old kid and play him in the under-10s, he could run around and take most of the marks, I reckon, given that he's twice the size of everyone else.
You would think
it can't
so.
Be that hard. So why, when you get a ruckman playing AFL who are twice the size of everyone else, can't they – I get why they can't sell candy like Boomer Harvey, but why can't they stand there and grab
They're
the ball?
Pretty dumb, Jim.
I don't understand it either, Jim. I'm with you. There's no great explanation for that. That craft has been lost because that was what I was taught. I lobbed as a 17-year-old.
It was a part of your game,
and
Jim.
Gary Dempsey was there, and he gave it to you every week, and exactly. You did 100 contested marks with him until you got better at it. But
they're no good, Jim.
Tell you what I need to do. I need to get rid of this iPad because I'm copping it. I've had enough of the, yes.
All
the
right.
Wolf pack.
Let's say Golfy hit it.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off. Have we got some issues in Australian tennis? There's no doubt about that. And this is it's a tough one to talk about. And I know Gaz wants to talk about it a little bit further later on. But we're really worried about Nick Kyrgios at the moment. I mean, he is a guy that could have the whole of Australia jumping on his wagon to support him and champion him all through his career, but he's alienating everyone at the moment
everyone.
Because of his behaviour on court. Now, I understand that sometimes in the heat of the moment you want to sledge and something comes out, but, you know, if you're going to sledge, you like it to be clean, clever or humorous, not sort of gutter stuff. And the worst thing about this one, and this isn't his first incident, but the worst one about this is A, he's disrespected a top five player in Stan Wawrinka, who's a gentleman on court. But also, what about what he's done to poor old Thanasi Kokkinakis and also Donna Vekic? What sort of bother is he compromising positions as he placed them in?
I reckon the girl, first and foremost, is the one who's been the subject
yep.
yeah. of yes. absolutely outrageous drive-by.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. We move on.
So you shipped him off?
Well, ship off, Nick. One bloke that I'm very happy to ship off, he could do him every week, Daniel Andrews.
I'm a fan of Daniel.
Yeah, he's almost a quarter of a million for a logo or a slogan.
Was it?
And quoted saying, "This is the beginning of the most aggressive and most expensive campaign Victoria has ever run." This is off the back of $640 million that he just frittered away for scrap
not build something.
Upon everything. He's spending money like it's growing on trees, Jim. I don't think he's helping the economy.
That's
I've got
to
be really honest. Yeah, Daniel, ship.
A bit political.
Ship right off.
Our money. Just shipped off the Premier.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah.
He's in Korea deserves worse. It. The US town of Dorset in Minnesota.
Oh.
Ship off a whole town, Jim.
How?
Because they run a raffle every year. It costs a dollar to go in. You get to be mayor for a year.
Oh.
A three-year-old boy has won it. He will be mayor for a year.
No.
One of the other candidates, Jim, was a rooster.
No way.
Unfortunately, the rooster died before it got to the draw, so couldn't win. I think he ended up on the dinner table.
Couldn't have done worse with the $640 million, the rooster.
Well, correct. He wouldn't have pitched that away, would he? I'll tell you what. To everyone, and I mean everybody involved in any way with the collapse crane that's affecting the Kingsway ramp to the freeway, causing gridlock, lane closures, ridiculous traffic delays. I'm talking about the construction company, the crane operator, the government, the work safe, all the people fixing it. For God's sake, get it done. It's a week old and nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
So ship off everybody.
Careful.
Some
careful,
bad
Chief.
News, Chief.
Careful,
Chief. It's close to home for you. I know I'm told 3 weeks away where the insiders.
Well, then they'll get a progress ship off every week then. As I was driving here, a young gentleman walking his dog, taking it to the park, and I pulled up the lights as he was crossing it, a little cavoodle, I think it was. Cool-looking little dog, and I liked them. I'm a dog lover, so I love them. He had pink booties on the dog.
Come on.
He had pink booties on the dog.
What suburb are we? Oh, you're inner.
You gotta, right yeah, you've got to let the dog man up. So whoever that owner was, you can ship off. And the final one, Jim.
Yes.
you're not calling tomorrow?
No, down at Tassie. watching our boys, of course, very important down there to support a great initiative.
Hey, how are you getting there?
Brought by me.
How are you getting there?
Aircraft.
Whose?
My own.
Commercial? Or private?
He's not, is he?
My own.
I'm taking my own.
Commercial?
I'm taking my own.
Is it a private plane?
I said I'm taking my own, Chief.
You're on a private plane, aren't you?
Might be.
Wolf, when was the last time you had a day off from the back row? Doesn't happen.
Can't remember.
Turns up every week. Produces the same high standards every week.
Chairman of a club.
Jim just says, you know what? I'll have a day off.
Ship off.
So, Jim, for being a little bit too happy with yourself, ship the hell off!
I can't believe you wedged me in again, Chief. That's a weekly event. And last week, because you couldn't think of anything, you ran a montage.
Yep. I'll get you in next week, too. And if I could remember what you said during the week, and Walker and I were having a chat about it before at Rush Hour, you gobbed off then, too.
So. Would have been funny.
No, it wasn't really. It was just arrogant.
I just want to back up on the Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I was thinking about this today. I blame... Tennis Wally Australia. Masseur. I blame Wally Masseur. Yep. I blame Pat Rafter. Yep. I blame
why?
Because that. I'll ask you this, Chief. The AFL, when it is deemed that a team has not presented themselves in the right light in terms of trying to win a game, went on a investigative and rightly so. Procedure that ended up costing aside 500,000 draft picks, and it comes under the term of tanking. What happened if a jockey halfway down the straight is in front and stops riding the horse and actually pulls it up? What happens to him?
Banned for life.
Banned for life.
You wouldn't get banned for life. Damien Oliver bet on a horse against his own horse, only got $10,000.
Yeah, well, Damien, philosophically, I mean, you're rorting the system because of that. Any sport, basketball competition that's going down the line, a bloke's got free throws and just dribbles them off and doesn't take the shot. This bloke tanked in a game of footy, of tennis, about a month ago.
That's not Tennis Australia's responsibility or jurisdiction,
Chief,
correct?
He has been funded by Tennis Australia. He represents Australia in the Davis Cup.
Correct.
This man has tanked. He's tanked, which is just a... Let's make no other bones about this.
Well, he tanked a game. Not a match.
I don't care whether it's a point or a game or whatever. He stopped trying in a game and walked off. We need to have come down on him like a ton of bricks. He need to have been fined, suspended, and given the same sort of public scrutiny and exposure that any other sport in the country would have got. And all you know what happened to him? Everyone went, poor old Nick. Or Nick, gee, lost his concentration. No, he didn't. He didn't lose his concentration. He tanked.
There's a few differences, though.
He didn't try, Chief.
A few differences. He
didn't play the game on its merits.
Yeah,
he should have been suspended.
It was one game. It wasn't a match,
Gary. You're comparing
Gary.
Apples to apples. So you're talking about our national game that has a team environment. This is an individual game on the world stage. Very, very different.
Chief,
you have zero control over him, mate. Honestly.
Over who?
The players.
You've got to be joking. Well, okay, let me extend it to the World Tennis Association.
He wasn't tanking when they funded him coming through the junior years, mate. That's history.
If he wants to represent Australia, Chief, you go and play on your merits every single time you play. And don't have Wally Masseur, the coach of the Davis Cup team, come out and defend him. He should have said, we will not stand for this. This is the world stage. You will not represent Australia in Davis Cup with that attitude, and you won't do it for next year.
Well, they went down the nurturing path. I mean, look, they've already gone down the Bernard Tomic, haven't they?
And look what we've got. We accepted him as a ball served to him on the world stage. We accepted this boy just walking off, and all we did is go, Damo's saying it's only a game.
It was one game in a match where you want to sit.
So you are happy to have people who are funded initially by us representing our country who choose. The Ashes Test team. Boat goes out, ball comes in, he just walks off and lets him, which they did anyway.
You don't have your match finished on the back of losing one game in tennis.
So you're tolerating tanking, eh?
Not tolerating, I think it's a shocking look, but I'm a bit with Chief on this one. I don't see what Australian tennis can do about it.
And this is the attitude that has led to Nick Kyrgios embarrassing us on the world stage.
I've got a massive problem with this latest incident.
Well, maybe if we came down and hauled him over the coals when he stopped playing in the middle of a game and sat him down and explained to him the notion of Australian sporting culture and try and all those sorts of issues, then we wouldn't have this situation.
Agassi used to lose games within matches, Gary. He didn't do it as obviously.
I'm not talking about Agassi. Roger Federer talking about Nick Kyrgios as a 19-year-old kid.
He's been fined by the ATP, but you've got to be very careful, Gaz, because at the end of the day, if you go too hard on him and you turn him the other way, he doesn't need to play for Australia, mate. He's making millions on the world stage in an individual sport.
I don't care about that, Chief. I'm talking about this kid now who we want to get behind, who stopped trying in a game of footy and now has turned out to be the upstarted prick that he is.
I understand what you're saying, mate. But so, all I'm saying is they're trying to find some middle ground to try.
Why do we tolerate it?
Because if you just kick him out, they'll sell piss off. And
don't kick him out. Just say, we don't want you in the Australian Davis Cup team. We don't want you to play for Australia. Now, if you get to the stage where you want to come back, then your behaviours will then determine that. But right now, you're not worthy of a spot.
I'm with
It sounds great in theory, but what works? Fly him up to Darwin as quickly as we could and threw him into the Davis Cup.
What if you did this, though, Chief? What if you? I mean, I understand you mightn't have the ability to suspend him or the Australian team, but if you've got John Fitzgerald and Pat Rafter and you've got Leighton Hewitt and you've got Rod Laver back out and they had a press conference and they said, hey, this is what Australian tennis has been and what happened out there ain't Australian tennis.
They've all come out and said that already, Jude.
But as one, united.
They've all come out and said something. But
you know, Chief, consequences.
So what do you want him to do to him now?
Consequences for your behaviour.
What do you want him to do to him
Ban
now?
Ban him from playing for Australia. Ban him.
Well, there's nothing coming up for Australia
until there's a Davis Cup semi-final
in October.
There's a semi-final coming up.
Yeah, so that's a couple of months away.
You ain't playing, champ.
I'd be happy with that. On the back of this latest incident, I don't get the other link.
I'm sure there'd be plenty of things going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to. It's a very different kettle of fish.
An individual
playing a world sport like that, as opposed to we're talking a team environment that is controlled by a national body here.
I see it far more black and white. I saw a kid that stopped playing, who just gave up and said, I'm not playing that point.
Kids make mistakes, I'm not trying to defend him, but I shipped him off, mate, because I hated
it. If it's his first one, this is about the fifth time.
As Walker said, there's been plenty of bad boys that have come good.
It was one game, Gary, in a match you want to set in.
Well, you might want to, that's the way you might want to
No, support. I thought it was a shocking look.
Right, well, but don't tolerate.
It's not worthy.
Chief's very close to Tennis Australia, Chief. He's right in there. I don't know what's going on.
Dishonouring the memory of Brod Dyke. Mark Kratzman. There have been some greats that have walked in his shoes.
No frills, Fromberg.
Mark Edmondson used to wear the Dunlop volleys.
Richard Fromberg
with the gollywog shag. Fix it up, Kyrgios, with your stupid bloody peacock head. What are we finding with the pack? Have they come for it?
I don't really want to say because Duke and Chief accused me of being selective, but I'm pretty dominant in the argument.
Listen to me.
Who would have thought? Nah.
We're not actually disagreeing with you in theory. It's just the way it works in the real world is very different.
Completely agree with the Wolfies. Dishonouring the great Andrew Willey.
That's it. I've had a couple of blokes mention Wojciech Fibak. He wasn't from Australia.
Wojciech Fibak was Polish. it was fantastic too. And who did he play with? He played doubles with another bloke.
It's one of the great names in sport, isn't it?
Just Nipsey sending random tennis names.
Someone through Roxy, I think he played with.
Hey, let's get up to Sydney because Neil Baum's been good enough to jump. I think he's down in the race and he joins us, the head of football ops at the Collingwood Footy Club. Baumy, welcome.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks very much for giving us a bit of your time. Very good track record up there, the Maggies. I don't know if that counts for anything. You've been in footy long enough, does it or not?
Well, unfortunately, we haven't played at the SCG since 2000, but all the other wins were at the other place, which is probably not that helpful, but it's a beautiful track and looks good, so hopefully it's a good night for us.
Hey, Bum, you must have got a great amount of enjoyment out of getting Ben Reid through a game, seeing him compete so well and look in good touch. Assuming he's pulled up well and he's right to go tonight.
He's out there, so let's hope we get another good game out of him. It's been, you're sitting on the edge of your seat watching him, so now we've got to just treat him as a normal guy, so let's hope he gets through the game. But he was terrific last week. We're really pleased for him. It's obviously been very tough for him, but for all of the rest of us waiting for him as well, it hadn't been much fun.
Be great to see some continuity back in his game. What about Travis Cloke? We know how important he is, structurally speaking, but he needs to have a big impact tonight if the Pies are going to get over the line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's was a bit sore with that calf, but he looks like he's 100%, so let's hope he can. But you'd think this ground would help him, but he's always pretty close to where the ball is. Let's hope we can kick it to him often enough. But his form's been reasonably good, so before he missed those couple of games. So let's hope he puts in a good one. But he's got a fair bit of support. I think it's probably as good a forward line as we've picked this year, hopefully. So let's hope he gets plenty of support there.
Now, what have you made of Dane Swan's form, particularly in recent weeks, coming off the relatively ordinary 2014 for injury reasons? But this year, have you found it?
Oh, yes. Look, he by his own admission, was terrible last year, but he had two or three injuries, and he'd probably been lucky that he'd virtually had none over the other years, so he wasn't sort of ready to cope with it. And I think that he got his head around that, and our blokes were very patient with him in the pre-season just to get him from point to point to point so that he could get enough work into him to get there. So he was very patient, did the work, and our blokes worked very well with him, so we're really pleased to see it. I mean, he's a little bit older than others, so you won't expect him to get better, but by hell, his form's been very, very good. So we've been very proud of him, really.
Hey, Barmy, we know how exciting Darcy Moore is, but you see him day in, day out. How's he handling the rigours of the season physically, psychologically, emotionally?
Well, I think physically is the hardest for him. The first year for all these players is a lot harder than it looks. Emotionally and intellectually, he's very, very strong. He gets it. He's a really organised young man, so he does that pretty well, but it's not easy to play week in, week out, particularly the way he does. He's a pretty explosive player, and we were sort of preparing him to play back and then changed our mind to play him forward, so we probably haven't made it easy for him either.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the internal expectations are, and you guys will keep that yourselves, but you've got Marsh, DeGoey, Moore, you've blooded a whole heap of young kids this year. From where I sit, I think it's in good shape going forward, regardless of whether you've got September action at the end of this.
Oh, yeah, I think you always aim for September action, particularly when you win 8 out of 11, regardless of what the draw says. So we're a bit disappointed with what's happened over the last 6 or 7 weeks, but all of that is balanced by where are we going. And when I got back here a few months ago, you looked at it and there was 15 or 16 blokes that we thought could be okay. We weren't quite sure which ones, and we were going to have to give them opportunities. We've been able to do that with quite a few of them, and a few of them have come through. So, I mean, there's still an enormous amount of work to do there, but we're pretty pleased with the way that's worked.
Barmy, you strike me as one of the most unemotional and pragmatic people in football, but looking into this game, there's a fair bit going on emotion-wise between the Sydney and Collingwood football clubs and the build-up to this. Do you buy into that? Do you feel as though there's a bit more in this one than there perhaps is for a normal regular game?
No, look, I don't think so. I think if you spoke to all the players, I think they would feel that there's an enormous respect both ways for the players, and I think that's about it. I don't think that any of that political stuff really impacts on their players or ours, I wouldn't thought. The only thing that politically they will be probably interested in is, you know, how we treat Goodsy, make sure that we have the right respect for him. Obviously, we don't want him to play well, but we do have the respect for the fact that all the players play against each other, and especially for Adam, for what he's been through. So I think our blokes get it at that level. I don't think they think much about the other.
Hey, Barmy, thanks very much for giving us a couple of minutes. Good luck with your footy club tonight.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, guys.
Neil Barm in Sydney. Has Ed gone to the function, by the way, and is he sitting next to Andrew Pridham? How's that all going?
Not up there tonight, Ed. I think he's decided to stay. We're probably working on Fox Footy tonight.
And the Swans chairman at his pre-match address to his gathering there tonight has requested the AFL, Jim, remove the trade ban. And just a sample of the presentation he made, and it was a lengthy one. The explanation that, this is a quote, that for the trade ban was that the commission, and this is a quote from the commission according to Andrew Pridham, did not want to be embarrassed by the Swans with another high-profile player signing following the signing in consecutive years of Kurt Tippett and Lance Franklin. That's in relation to the ban of the Sydney Swans being able to attract players to their club on a wage of more than $350,000 for next year.
All right, we're going to get to Benny Dixon in just a moment. The Cricket Australia board and selectors have named Steve Smith as the captain of Australia and David Warner as the vice-captain for the Test matches beyond this one coming up.
How's that gone, Davey Warner, vice-captain? Yeah,
well, it's just been announced.
Would have got long odds from 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Warner being
left out for
the
discipline reasons and all the rest of it. So that's just come through. Let's head up into the studios in Sydney. I think Jude Bolton's up there. He's obviously twice a premiership player with the Swans and himself a star, but also Stewie Jew, speaking of premiership players for the Hawks, and now a part of their setup. Where do we find you two, gentlemen?
Ben McGlynn.
Have we got Ben McGlynn?
Ben McGlynn. I'm asking you about Stewie Jew, so that's why I've got it written down here. Benny McGlynn.
I was looking around the box seeing if Stewart, there's no party pies here.
wouldn't be enough room in there. No, you got Benny McGlynn in there. Before we get to Benny, tell us very quickly, Bolts, about Stewart Jew. It's why I asked or mentioned his name. A big announcement from him today, yes?
Yes, he's basically pulled out of the Carlton race. So it comes down to, I guess it leaves Brendan Bolton and also Scotty Burns. So they're probably the two front runners at this stage. So there's a bit happening there. So
what about Adelaide? Bolt, is he still in the Adelaide race?
I'm not sure exactly whether he's still in the Adelaide race or whether he's been sitting right in there. I'm not fully aware of the situation there, but he's certainly got the credentials and he's highly regarded internally at the Swans.
All right, very nice. Thank you very much for that. And Benny McGlynn, he got some earphones on as well up there.
He has.
Hi, Benny, welcome.
How you going, boys?
Now, why aren't you playing football, please?
A little hamstring again, so I was just read its head last Thursday at training, so I pulled out of the Geelong game and then a short week trained during the week and just wasn't 100%. So going from the history of this year and also in the past, I just don't want to risk it this close to the final end of the year.
You're an important player, Benny, as his buddy. The two of you pulled out last week and it was a poor performance, but it should be more than personnel. It's never been the Sydney way to rely on one or two players, and I saw the Adelaide game up at the SCG a couple of weeks ago, which was probably as good as I've seen Sydney play all year. But unfortunately, particularly in the second half of the year, that's becoming more the exception to the rule. Things haven't quite been at peak powers of late.
No, they haven't. And definitely we're not a team that relies on, you know, Buddy to kick the goals. And definitely if they rely on me, they're going to have no hope. But, the midfield didn't step up last week and they've got a big job tonight to get over the Collingwood midfield. But, you know, our leaders are the ones that have been a little bit inconsistent and, you know, they're owning up to that and put their hand up during the week. So hopefully tonight you see a better performance from, you know, McVay and Kieran Jack and Reece Shaw and these guys.
But he's such a robust player, Benny, and we've seen always get worried, you know, sitting alongside the Wolf here at back injuries. And back injuries always worry you. And a player that size and that athletic, can you describe what the issue has been? And is it something he's going to have to manage for a fair while to come?
No, I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. I think it's just, a little... He might have hurt his strain, his back, I think, over in Perth. So it just hasn't recovered well. And he played against Adelaide, which I don't think he should have played. But, you know, he put his hand up because it was an important game for us. And so hopefully he's back next week and, you know, he's feeling good this week. And I guess it's just another week will help him recover and hopefully... back in for the rest of the year.
Ben, just backing over the question Jason asked you a few moments ago, can you put your finger on why the drop-offs have occurred, particularly in the second halves of matches in recent times? And I know you said that the leaders were down a bit, but is there a reason for it? Is it tiredness? Is it just being up for so long and expectations being so great for an extended period of time? Or is it just simply you're being outplayed and your quality of team isn't what it once was?
I'm too sure what the answer is. Obviously, we go there each week trying to play consistent footy, and we've haven't put four quarters together most of the year. I can't recall a game we've played four quarters of football, maybe the Adelaide game. But, I think it's just a matter of, you know, playing hard football, winning the contested ball and getting it going our way. But at the moment, we're just, we're fading out in quarters, which is hurting us, and we can't really stop the momentum of other teams. So we've been looking at that during the week and over the course of the year, and hopefully we can amend it.
You've had a few injuries along the way, Benny, that have just stopped your continuity of football. Gary Rowan's certainly in the same boat. You've probably spent a little bit of time in rehab, I suspect, with him, but good to get him back into the lineup. He just needs to get week in, week out football under his belt, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, and you know he's an important part of our team, and he provides that energy and his pace and stuff up the forward line is what we're after. And Gaz has had his bad luck, his run of injuries, and hopefully this is the little hamstring is just a little minor hiccup this year, and he's had a pretty good season so far, so hopefully he can pick up his form and move on.
Benny, you became a father for the first time just recently, I'm told.
Yeah, about 5 weeks ago, mate.
How's that going?
Congratulations, Benny.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's awesome, mate. It's little Sonny McGlynn, so he's been good, but the missus is doing all the load, mate, at the moment because I've got the hamstring injury, so I'm playing that up a bit and getting out of all the duties.
Oh, that's great news. So we wish you well with that, of course, and the rest of the season. And so for Swans fans listening next week, by the sound of it, you'll be right.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, well, good luck with that. Great calling up there to you two, Bolts. And
cheers, mate.
We'll be up there in about 10 minutes to have a listen to what's going to be a terrific game of footy. Ben McGlynn.
Thanks, Benny.
And Jude Bolton up in Sydney. Hey, just before we go, Purple, because we've got to get up to the boys up there. Bristol's going to be doing a great job with Wayne Schwoss, of course, himself a former best and fairest winner of the Swans. Player movement.
Yep.
You spoke about it last night on the footy show. We don't have a heap of time left, but let's start with Chris Yaron.
Yeah, he has met with Richmond officials, Jim. It was recently. I've established that there were officials in the room. I don't claim to know the exact number nor identity of, but they were senior officials. So it is a situation where they have met with him. And I've been told that he was sounding them out as much as they were sounding him out. And they're pretty keen on him, but they want to make sure that they're getting him in for the right reasons. So,
who was at the meeting?
There were senior officials, Gary. I'm still working on the actual identities. But I can, it's a fact. They met with him. And,
I know it's a fact.
Must be legal.
Because you said it. But
it must be legal. Otherwise, we'd have the AFL coming down on clubs and players and their managers, surely.
Well, it's not legal, but it goes on, and there's nothing they can do about it when it's all said and done. You normally don't find out about it until after the
event. Well, if you've got rules, there are things you can do about it.
Well, if we could compile a list, there's probably 10 examples you could now know of that have happened in recent years where it's happened. So it's happening. We'll go back to Steph Martin too, Jim. The contracted Brisbane Lions ruckman, Darcy, you mentioned earlier on, having a good year, second good year in a row, and he's contracted for 2016, but for personal reasons, which relate to his partner, it's just she may well want to be based in Melbourne, and if that's the case, he may want to be down here with her. So clubs are aware of it. The Bulldogs are one of those clubs that are aware of it, and I reckon this one's got a situation around it where it could actually, you know, really facilitate it. They would get a good pick for it, the Lions, and what it could also do too, Gaz, it could impact on Matthew Leuenberger's status at Brisbane, because we thought he was gone. He may now stay if he does get the number one exclusive role there at the rucking situation at Brisbane.
Notice the major papers haven't followed these up, Jim. They like to give it a day because then they come in on the Saturday fresh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you hear it here first from the Warrior.
Well, it might even be a next Wednesday.
Well,
where if you leave enough time, it's like, hey, what about this?
That's when they're really embarrassed. Yeah. They go, well,
what about this one?
Can't get them. Then I look like I'm following. So give us three or four. See if they forget about it.
Halle Bennell contracted to Gold Coast Suns for 2016. And 17. I don't expect him to be there. I think there's enough want for the club to move him on, given what he's been through, and there's significant interest in the latest club that I've heard during the week, and it is a real offer and a real pitch for him is St Kilda. They have put a fair bit of time in by way of their own investigations into him, and they're prepared to go the next step, whatever that means. You'll hear commentary around the Gold Coast Suns saying we don't want to lose him, and deep down they don't. But they are prepared to put his name on the table.
Some big quality you're talking here, Walker. I think the maybe the future draft pick trading is going to come into play.
It will definitely come into play. And again, I don't get into the draft space too much, but every recruiter you speak to off record will tell you that it stops around about number 15 to 20, and which means it tails away. And so everyone, I think, would like to keep their early picks as a rule, but there will be future trading, I would think, as. And it's just The other one there of Motlop being at Geelong, if they are to bring in Dangerfield and Selwood and Henderson, there is some doubt about Leuenberger, but those three, Motlop could not stay under the salary cap. And North, Jim, as you did comment last night, not that you knew much about it, Jim. I can tell our listeners that North has broached the topic and will broach it again.
Well, you would be mad not to, Duke, is what all I said. If he becomes available to any club, Stephen Motlop is a very, very good footballer.
I'm reading body language. I think he's been around the gym's pad. And I think he's had a one-on-one.
That is 100% incorrect.
Actually, that'd be a good story.
100% incorrect.
Pulled out one of the bottles that I owe him.
100% incorrect, which is now 13.
Well, you're not getting them.
Actually, 14 now.
What I want you to check is, are presidents allowed to bet on football? That's all I want you to.
No, they're not.
Thank you.
They are definitely not allowed to bet.
Thank you.
But what there is amongst proper friends is an honour.
No.
So Jim, if there's honour, I think, well, it's all we need to concern.
What there is amongst
with.
Proper friends is look out for the best interests of each other.
Yes.
And I will do that with you.
That's good.
Therefore,
then
not
therefore
bet.
Therefore, we don't need to
not honour any bets.
Then therefore, we don't concern ourselves
with
it. And
you can't get into
it.
Trouble for then taking bets. So bad luck.
So that 13 or 14 bottles become zero very quickly.
Correct. In the best interest, Chief.
Hard luck, Jim. Cop that.
In fact, by the time I'm finished, might be 16. Yeah. All right,
and that is true.
Although it could also go back the other way hard, so maybe I'll cash out.
We'll cash out.
Cash out.
You round it out at 60. That's where you.
Hey, been nice. What? That'd be very nice.
Well, I've bought plenty. I don't know about the rest of you, but
the pack got a final say before we sign off.
Well done, Wolf on Fire. Carried the whole show again.
Dark Scrooney's the
winner. Where would
it's
we
off.
Be
the
without you?
Off.
The Duke is a battler. Our Chief's okay, and Jim's a flog. Yep. And was Warrior on tonight?
Oh, no. Listen to that.
It's just amazing.
It's just a filtered version of what the pack actually say.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Triple M. Rocks football.